It is Thursday, November 25th, 2021. Happy Thanksgiving to all members of our American audience. And if you're home recovering after a big fat turkey dinner, you're all high on tryptophan, or if you're anywhere else in the world, just settle in and enjoy, because this is the Godfathers of Podcasting, and we are broadcasting live right now on godfathersofpodcasting.com. And you know, we've been podcasting since before podcasting was even called podcasting. Archives of the show, as always, will be available on Spotify, Apple, Google, Amazon, or any major podcast provider. But the video archives of this show are only available on our website, godfathersofpodcasting.com. When you're on our site, go to the shop, buy some merch. If you love someone in your life, buy them some Godfathers of Podcasting swag. They will thank you for it, believe me. If you're tuned in live right now, you can interact with us. You can ask questions, send feedback, insult us. We don't care, whatever you want. And as of now, you can do it all by texting us on WhatsApp. So if you're outside of the Greater Toronto Area and you don't want to incur long distance charges, get on your WhatsApp gimmick, 437-375-2000. While you're in WhatsApp, you can also go to the online store that's attached and buy some goddamn merch. My name is Donnie Da Silva, and it is my honor to introduce two men that Kim Kardashian ignored and chose Pete Davidson over. They are just a couple of island boys, Notorious B.I.G., Chris Tidwell, and my bro Danny O.
Island boy. I'm an island boy.
Man, I was telling y'all guys off air, and as you bring it up on air, I gotta say, if I would record everything that I do in the studio when the mic is actually off, like in between actual recordings, I'd be so much more successful, I'm convinced, because them dudes have a hit on their hands, bro.
They are they're going to make a ton of money. That's inevitable.
They already
have. But I mean even more so. They're going to be on stage with somebody big within the next year. That's the silly part.
Here's the funny thing. I think it was just yesterday that this happened, because
yes, yesterday did happen.
They
I heard that too, Tid.
The Island Boys, they performed at Club Live in Miami. And they got booed out the building.
Shocking.
Booed out the building. They did their so-called freestyle Island Boys. And you see the crowd, just like curiosity is raining in, and they're filming.
Oh, there's footage of this?
Oh yeah, guy.
Oh man.
It's all over the Insta, and people are all filming it and taking it in, but they are booing these dudes.
I wonder if these kids are smart enough to know that that's their gimmick, and the fact that they're getting booed is what's going to make them even more popular. I mean, that's what makes them popular. It's this whole non-talent thing.
I think they're leaning into it. They
remember when this kind of shit started with William Hung, back when, like, you know, the bad, what was it, American Idol, you know, auditions turned into entertainment? Because I remember liking American Idol in the first, you know, several episodes when there were bad singers. When they got rid of them and stayed with the good ones, it was boring to me. So I get the appeal of whackness. I do. But on the other hand, it's so mind-boggling to me that whackness is able to make money in that way.
It's unbelievable.
Island boy.
What makes me laugh is the people on TikTok that absolutely roast these guys. And one person wrote something like, you know, why do you call yourself an island boy if you've never been to an island? And he's like, it's just a song. It's just, why are you so serious? It's just a song. You know, we're from Florida. Our parents are from Cuba, so we're Cuban.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
I'm shocked they don't have connections to an actual island.
But you're like, seriously, you've never left Florida? And like, no, but, and then the comments like, someone tell these guys that Florida's not an island. And we know it's not an island. It's a peninsula.
Damn, these guys, peninsula boys.
We're peninsula boys.
Yeah, it just doesn't roll the same though off the tongue, right?
No.
Like, at least they're smart enough to understand it.
Yeah, good for them.
I mean, they're still better than the horse tooth killer.
Oh, by far.
Whoa. Somewhere in the world, Vanilla Ice is going, guys, keep it real.
You should TikTok a battle challenge.
It's funny you say that, Tim, because I'm like, yo, that would be a hell of a collabo.
The Horse Tooth Killer and the Island Boys.
Yeah.
TikTok battle
in a freestyle.
Oh, for sure.
Oh, I murder those kids.
Yeah, yeah. Get ready.
Right. I'd even use the Island Boy filter and get all their tattoos on my face. Do you believe they have their own
you'd
filter?
You'd have to. They'd see that's
well,
money.
You'd have
for
to
sure.
get them. You'd have to get them to do the U filter as well.
Right.
We just got a text. 437-375-2000 on WhatsApp, guys. The Island Boys are so 2 weeks ago. Yeah, okay.
But so are we.
It came up because they got booed out the building at this club in Miami, and that's why I
imagine
thought
that
over
two weeks ago is a long time. This is the era that we live in. You right? know what I'm saying? There used to be a time where it's like, yo, that new record came out 2 weeks ago. Like, oh shit. That new shit's out. Like, I have to go right. get it. But things are so accessible so quickly. We get everything immediately. 2 weeks ago is old. That's hilarious.
I'm about to get the new Island Boys joint, but I'm good for now. if you know,
you know what? You know, how old are those dudes, right? How old are they?
They're kids.
They're kids. They got to so be
like
teenagers.
What? You know
like
what? 16, 17?
I don't
probably.
Know.
Probably. They're twins, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, like, you know, so
would you say they're maybe the same age as like Harrison?
Ooh, segue okay, master.
On. I love that segue. But before you jump into it, let me just say this about them being twins. Dan, you'll appreciate this reference. What were the? You'll remember this better than I will. What were the names of the evil twin brothers on G.I. Joe?
Tomax and Zaymot.
I knew you would know. So.
Same, yes, I guess spell it backwards. Tomax and Zaymot.
So remember how Tomax and Fuckface, whatever, how like they were identical but opposite?
Right. But opposite, yeah.
So it's the same with the Island Boys. They okay. look identical, but if you look at them real close, each of them has a nose that's bent. One is to the left
way.
And one is to the right.
They were trying to wrestle out that pussy, I guess.
They are Zomax and what?
Tomax and Zaymot.
Okay.
Yes.
I could never remember.
Those are
remember.
Legit names.
Totally.
Tid, you wanted to segue over to,
yes.
to Dexter?
Well, see, all I was going to say was, like, if they're around that same age, because, like, after seeing what we've seen on last week's episode of Dexter, dude, that dude has the dark passenger deep all up in his guts.
Yeah,
like, they are far up in his guts right now. And he is going to kill somebody before the end of this season. And I feel like it's
maybe before the end of the month.
It's either going to be or it's going to be witnessed by his girlfriend.
Well, here's a prediction.
If Dexter was still in Miami, would he have killed the Island Boys?
Oh, that would have been a wicked episode.
I think that's the deep fake. That's why he left Miami.
My brother has a theory. Shouts to Brian because he's a big Dexter fan too, and what he has a theory that the unknown killer who's kidnapping women apparently and
dude in the
all that,
the
dude in the mask
yeah.
is going to end up kidnapping Harrison's girlfriend of, and
Harrison kills
and
him.
Harrison's gonna yeah man Harrison's gonna
I'm telling you yeah he's got some deep shit like.
Yeah, I'm intrigued by this new season. They're obviously making good on a shitty ending of the series. And I'm intrigued, loving how they have, you know, Dexter's actually hosting field search parties with the body they're looking for underneath his fire pit. I'm like, it's I love it. It's just I'm right back to where the series got us before.
So speaking of Dexter,
yeah,
switch from the world of fantasy to the world of reality.
Wait, what? Mm-hmm.
There's been all kinds of talk over the last week about we need a Dexter because of the verdict that came down last week in the Kyle Rittenhouse trial. Everyone knows by now, unless you've been living under a rock somewhere, that Kyle Rittenhouse was acquitted of all charges, found not guilty. Was it yesterday or the day before that the decision came down on the Ahmaud Arbery trial?
Yesterday. The McMichaels and Brian trial, not the Arbery trial.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I do. Just want to make it clear to the folks listening.
Those two were found guilty.
Yes.
And
all three of them were.
When you're correct, all three of them. And when sentencing comes down, they will likely spend the rest of their natural lives behind bars.
God willing.
It's interesting how both trials, in particular the Rittenhouse trial, has really divided people online. There are two camps. There are the ones who believe that he got away with murder, literally.
Which he did.
literally. And then there are those who think that this was a clear-cut case of self-defense. I want to share something with everyone out there in case you missed it, or in case maybe you weren't paying such close attention to both trials. I'm going to play for you the closing arguments from the prosecution in both trials. Just a clip, okay? Mm-hmm. And I want you to pay attention to the similarities and realize that these two trials had very different results. Take a look.
Initial unjustified aggressor, you don't get a claim self-defense. If you're committing a felony against somebody, you don't get a claim self-defense. And the third one is if you provoke somebody so that they defend themselves against you, and then you go, oh, look, he attacked me first. But you really were the one who was provoking the attack on yourself. You don't get a claim self-defense. And that's the law.
When the defendant provokes the incident, he loses the right to self-defense. You cannot claim self-defense against a danger you create. That's critical right here. If you're the one who is threatening others, you lose the right to claim self-defense. And he is responsible for every bullet that comes out of that gun. He could have chosen to stop after the first shot, after the second shot, after the third shot, and assessed whether or not there was still a need to keep firing.
So this, it's almost eerie how similar the defense strategy was in both cases. Mm-hmm. In the case down in down south, they were even more attacking the character of the victim and trying to create doubt in the mind of the jury. He deserved it.
Right.
But really, they were trying to use self-defense as a justifiable reason to kill in both cases. And you could see there that the prosecutors were using very similar strategies based upon the law. So all the people out there that say, oh, it's self-defense, it's this and that. Again, it's not self-defense when you go into a situation and created the problem.
Totally.
When people say, oh, he was there doing good things. He was there to provide medical attention. He's not an EMT.
Yo, man, nobody brings an AR-15. Nobody brings an AR-15 to provide medical attention. That's the weirdest looking first aid kit I've ever seen.
Correct.
And he came, and everyone knows this. He came to an event that he vehemently opposed. Right. We know that he was not down there for the cause. He wasn't protesting Jacob Blake's shooting, which is what that was. That protest was about. He was there against those people. Of course, he's the aggressor. He shows up, A, against the whole reason the protest is taking place. B, with a weapon. What did you expect was going to happen? He came there with an intent and he carried it out. And it's insane to me. It's insane to me that we live in a world where there's video evidence. So many of the cases that we've talked about on the show and otherwise over the past couple of years have had video evidence. Unlike any time in our history, everything's being recorded. Like almost everything is being recorded now. Right. And even though we can see it clear as day on a recording, even if it's not clear as day, it's on a recording. The fact that people can still go, he was not guilty of anything, let alone murder. Nothing. He did nothing wrong. Zero.
Right.
Is so scary to think about what people could and probably will be doing given the verdict that was handed down to this motherfucker.
So 2 points that people keep making in support of Kyle Rittenhouse is one, he was there being a good Samaritan. Oh, yeah. He was protecting a family member's business. There were all these other stories about he was extinguishing a fire and then he was getting chased down for his good Samaritan actions. So let me explain something to all y'all. When there's a protest going on, and let's not lose track of the fact that the protest in Kenosha was happening because a cop killed Jacob Blake.
Jacob Blake didn't die, for the record.
Sorry, a cop shot Jacob Blake.
Seven shots in the back, point blank range.
Right. So, and that was what outraged the community. Yes. All the cops that were in attendance at the protest, they saw the angry protesters light a fire in a garbage dumpster. You know what the cops did? They said, okay, it's a contained fire. Right. Let it burn. What did Kyle Rittenhouse do? he extinguished the fire. When you do something like that, you are essentially making yourself an instigator. You are telling the crowd, I am not down with you.
Right.
So they piss off some of the people in the crowd. The people in the crowd are coming after him going, what the fuck are you doing? Are you down with us? Or are you not down with us? And all of a sudden, he has instigated a situation that would never have happened if he wasn't there. Okay. And the only reason he was there, to Dan's point, was to create issues.
Yeah.
And people say, well, he wasn't illegally carrying a rifle. They already realized that he had the rifle in Kenosha. He didn't cross state lines with it, blah, blah, blah. Okay, fine. So let me just put this in perspective. The guy who sold him the rifle was charged, but he wasn't charged for carrying it. The guy who gave him a rifle in Kenosha was charged and still has pending charges. But Kyle Rittenhouse faces no charges for that and faces no punishment for having the rifle. Then they talk about, well, the laws in Wisconsin are different because of the length of the weapon. Those laws are so antiquated that they don't even take into account the fact that his gun is bigger than what they allowed for in their law. So if he had a shorter gun, he would have been found guilty of illegally carrying a firearm as a minor. But because it's so big, it doesn't technically count under their law. It is so fucked up. That is understanding the letter of the law and not the spirit of the law. That is called interpreting the law to help evil. And that is exactly the way that the judge framed it to the jury and made sure
that, judge.
That they walked away with the result. Tid?
Yeah.
Is it not more of an indication of how systemically ridiculous the justice system has become from state to state to state? Because something like this happens someplace else, it's not the same outcome. This was clearly, you could see the outcome of this from the beginning.
Yeah.
And what happened, in my opinion, there's no doubt about that. Mm-hmm. So it's that part of it is done. Thankfully, in the United States, that it believes in a system of balances on top of balances on top of balances for some situations. This happens to fall in that. And the DOJ is now involved. And let's hope that something happens out of this. Let's at least hope if the fact that he is not going to jail has to be behind us. It has to be, because that is a fact. Remember, OJ was also found not guilty. Mm-hmm. And there is a huge difference between innocent and not guilty.
For sure.
He might have been found not guilty, but he is no way, shape, or form innocent of the crime of killing another human being.
Two people.
The only way you can justify Kyle Rittenhouse not being guilty is because of the wording of the laws in that state.
100%.
He's not 100%. And that's the bottom line. We just got a text, 437-375-2000. You guys are talking about Dexter. However, Rittenhouse was the true Dexter. He killed a pedophile. Why are you not down with him?
You see, you motherfuckers keep talking that shit like as if you knew or as if Rittenhouse knew anything about the people he killed. You see, you change your motherfucker. Hold up. You change your motherfucking narrative. First, he's a medic. Then he's there to protect the business. He's he's this do-gooder. And now he was there to kill a pedophile. Like, that was his reason to be there. Pick one. What was Kyle Rittenhouse's purpose in being at a Black Lives Matter-based rally? Don't tell me he found the pedophile the way Dexter did his due diligence and vetted different people to know who was who and killed him on purpose. Now, what you're basically saying or suggesting is, well, he did us a favor. What he did was good, and what he did was intentional. Because what else do you want to do with a pedophile? Kill him, right? Yeah, one less pedophile. I'm with you on that. But Kyle Rittenhouse doing that, if that was his intent, is still guilty of murder. Because guess what? You don't get to kill pedophiles and get away with it. I'm not mad at killing pedophiles. I'm saying you've just clearly made made it obvious that what he did was murder, because you're praising the fact that the person is dead because there was reason to kill him. Fuck all y'all with your bullshit, man.
Let's also be a shame. It would be a shame if somebody lit their house on fire. I'm just saying.
You know what? Let's leave it at that. I was going to jump in with something else, but let's leave it at that.
Pure fuckboy arguments all week long with that shit.
Yeah, it is. It's a very weak argument to talk about that.
And it's based on bullshit. You lucked out. If he just so happened to have had pedophilia charges against him, nobody knew that before the shit went down. Don't use that as an excuse as to give me a break.
Private me with an address and we can have a face-to-face conversation about it.
Dumb motherfuckers.
I just
please, can we just quickly I hate that it has to be quickly, but
yeah,
thank God. And I agree with the people who say it wasn't justice, it was accountability, in the fact that Ahmaud Arbery's murderers are now convicted murderers. And thank God somebody got it right. You mentioned this before, Donnie. You get a different judge, different state, different outcome. Thank God. Because again, here we have a murder captured on video. Three guys chasing down a black dude running. Travis McMichael, the one who pulled the trigger, himself in testimony said he was just running. He knew. He wasn't threatened, didn't have a weapon. They chased this dude down and murdered him. Mm-hmm. Anyone, and there's still people out there doing the same Kyle Rittenhouse fuckboy bullshit ass arguing about how that what they were doing was in self-defense. You brought the fucking danger. You brought the motherfucking danger. Not Ahmaud Arbery. You came in vehicles with guns. How is it self-defense for you, but not self-defense for the dude who's being cornered by three dudes with guns? The fucking argument only works when it satisfies your racist bullshit fuckboy narrative. Fuck you.
Fuck, Dan, I don't think we were recording. Can you do that again?
God damn these motherfuckers, man.
Shit.
Every last one of these motherfuckers talking about self-defense.
I don't want to laugh in that moment, but Tid's such a piece of shit.
I really am. And that's how much love I have for Dan's.
I love you.
Generous,
bro.
His generous and fucking absolutely genuine feelings on this. And that's what makes it so great.
It's so fucking insane to me that there could be any other perspective than they murdered that guy.
Another text just came in, 437-375-2000 on our new WhatsApp hotline.
What's up?
And it says, guys, how fitting was it that Rittenhouse, in one of his first public appearances, was posed next to former President Douche?
The most fitting thing ever. Donald J. Trump. I actually said this. I think it was a comment on your post, it's Donnie. I go, all you need to know about people who support Kyle Rittenhouse is that photo.
It is just as surprising as the outcome of the trial.
Totally.
Not like, at all.
That says everything. That speaks volumes. This motherfucker could stand there with somebody who murdered two people.
Well, it goes to, there is a complete other side. This is what the country has become, and it's been put into the forefront because of one person that you just spoke of, Donnie. In my belief, Donald Trump. He's the one that brought all of this to the forefront.
No question.
And now a country has never been this divided since there was a civil war in the United
States
of America.
Honestly, straight up.
We're heading to civil war in the United States.
We're not. Straight up. We're not. We're staying
in the United States.
We're staying right the fuck up here.
In other Trump news, Donald Trump Jr. posted on Twitter this past week advertising a whole bunch of garbage new swag. One of the things he's selling is a t-shirt that says LGBTQ, but it's not what you think. It stands for Let's Get Biden to Quit. You can already imagine how this infuriated members of the LGBTQ community. You can also understand that this seems to be incredibly tasteless. Why is he doing this? He's selling t-shirts
Trump. And
other swag to try and raise money, allegedly for another run at the presidency. He's desperate right now because WePay, which is a credit card processor owned by JP Morgan Chase, cut off the Trumps. They were trying to use WePay to sell tickets for a December 3rd event, And WePay said that the Trump event violated their terms of service. They were unable to process for hate, violence, racial intolerance, terrorism, the financial exploitation of crime or items or activities that encourage, promote, facilitate, or instruct others regarding the same. WePay refunded $30,000 to supporters. So they're running out of lifelines.
Man, I hope that this trend continues.
Dude, I flipped on TV the other night, and he did some interview thing on Hannity. And sometimes I like to watch Fox News because it's like a feel-good for me. It makes me understand that my life is so much better. You know what I mean? And he did this interview, and the whole thing was clearly nothing more than a ruse, like, to sell a new book. He's got a new book coming out, Donald Trump does. This is how fucking ridiculous of a grifter this guy is. And I'm sorry to say, all you're fooling is really poor, uneducated white people. Get the fuck over y'all self.
If his book is anything more than a collection of tweets that were screenshotted, I don't believe he wrote it. I'm just saying.
Oh, there's no way he wrote it.
Yeah. Okay, folks, listen. Last week on this program, we spent way too much time sounding like a bunch of out of touch boomers because all three of us were at least a little confused when it comes to the big business of NFTs. And based on a lot of the feedback we got from you, our audience, we weren't the only ones. A lot of you were like, yeah, I don't get it either. I get it in concept, but I don't really understand. So we decided to pull in an expert. Ladies and gentlemen, he's a rapper, singer, entrepreneur, and one of my bro Daniel's fellow facilitators with Next Generation Arts. He's also one of Dan's former students, and he works with artists and teaches them how to create their very own NFTs. So he's the guy we need right now. Let's hear it from allegedly the best dressed man in the room, Seth Dyer.
What's good, bro?
Hey, hey. Thank you for having me, y'all.
Hey, man. Thanks for doing this, man. We are in the midst of wrapping up a pretty much a year-long project with Next Generation Arts. Seth and I are both co-facilitators of an online songwriting workshop that's facilitated by Next Gen and is completed in Scarborough's illustrious Phase One Studios, where we'll be this weekend completing this project. Seth, even before we worked on this project, and we've known each other a while since we've done workshops before, you obviously being one of my participants in the workshop, you have by far passed me in the world of this industry as far as understanding how shit works. Because here I am still, you know, hawking records, cheap plug, brand new record,
your
hip hop. But you have sold an NFT, and last week we made complete fools of ourselves trying to understand what an NFT is. So you're the first man I thought of knowing your experience with it. Can you enlighten us and our audience, sir?
Yeah, most definitely. So an NFT, what it stands for is non-fungible token.
Already sounds weird.
Yeah, already sounds weird, but I'll explain it. In order to understand what something non-fungible is, you have to understand what something fungible is.
Okay.
Right. So something fungible is something that can be copied, right? And just kind of distributed amongst people. So cash, for instance, is fungible. If I have a $10 bill and you have another $10 bill, we can trade those. It's the same thing, right? If I have a $10 bill and you have two fives, it's the same thing. It's fungible. We can trade them. They're all of the same value, essentially, right? As opposed to the Mona Lisa. The Mona Lisa is one of a kind, right? The Mona Lisa is one of a kind. It is non-fungible. So I can't take the Mona Lisa and trade it for another Mona Lisa. There's only one, right? So that's something that's non-fungible. It can't be just like traded for something that is the same thing as it. You could trade it for cash, for instance, right? But cash is not the same as the Mona Lisa. So essentially, what an NFT does is, let's say you have a piece of art. Let's say it's a piece of digital art. It's a JPEG, for instance, right? That JPEG gets uploaded to the blockchain, and the blockchain marks that JPEG with a unique number, with a unique code. And the thing about the blockchain is shared amongst everyone. Everyone on the network all gets the same data, all gets the same
See, that's where I get confused, Seth, because you're saying that something, what's a blockchain?
Yeah.
And if it's fungible and can't be copied, then how does everyone have access to it?
Okay, so a blockchain is essentially...
Is it basically a private network? Is that basically what it is?
In a sense, but the blockchain is a giant ledger, right? So let's say we have, let's say I give you $5. It's recorded, right? Then you give that $5 to somebody else. It's recorded. And then let's say Dan gives Donnie $10. It's recorded, right? Everything on the blockchain is a giant ledger, right? That's why it's called, that's why it's considered decentralized, because everyone can see it. It's transparent to everyone. So when you put something on the blockchain, like a piece of art, right? It gets marked with a certain code. Let's say it's 001. Let's say it's the number one, actually, right? It goes on the blockchain. It's the number one, and everyone can see it's the number one, right? So I can take that. This is where it gets a little confusing. So on the blockchain.
This is where.
Oh man,
it's already confusing.
Hey,
it's a little confusing.
I'm with him,
but yeah, the blockchain is a giant ledger. So if I upload, let's say a JPEG picture, it gets marked with the number one, right? And the network tracks where that thing goes, right? Okay. So let's say I have this JPEG and I send it to Dan on the blockchain. He has number one JPEG, right? On the blockchain, right? And everyone else can see that he has it. One of a kind. Now, where people get confused is there's like, oh, it's a JPEG file. I can just right click it, save as, and I have the same JPEG.
Right.
You're not buying the actual picture. You're buying that code. You're buying that number one code. That's what you're actually buying.
Why?
That's what makes it unique.
Right? Why am I buying a code?
That's how it's, how to explain this.
That's how, like, you understand the uniqueness and the rarity of it.
Can I take this code to the bank and be like, yo, I'm going to give you this instead of my mortgage this month?
No, what you would do is, since you have that code, right? Okay. And it's a one of a kind code, somebody else may buy it from you. It's like having a piece of artwork that somebody buys off of you for Bitcoin or Ethereum or whatever, right? Let's say someone buys it off of you for Ethereum, then you would convert that Ethereum into cash and then you could have it in the bank, right?
So who dictates really, like, let's say we put up a JPEG of Donnie's stupid face right now,
right?
You know, yeah, what I mean, who dictates that is worth anything more than like a birth control poster?
right Well, one is, well, there's a lot of factors that would come into that. So one is the scarcity of it. So there could be one picture with one code on the blockchain, right? Or you could do multiple. You could have 10 codes and the same JPEG. But anyways, what determines the value most of the time is the community behind it. So a lot of NFTs and stuff like that, there's communities behind it. There's people excited about the launches and stuff like that. So then they buy things up and then they sell them for higher prices because they're hard to get or whatever. It's like a giant auction, but it's usually
community. Is this really just a way to like do money laundering through cryptocurrency?
Well, shoot, people are probably,
I mean, it kind of sounds like that.
People are probably doing that. And crypto, the way crypto is and the way it's decentralized and stuff like that, it's hard for the government to kind of get their hands on. And that's why they're trying to do all these legislations to change all these laws regarding crypto. Because at first, crypto was used for criminal activity,
right?
Now it's more mainstream and people are using it for more legit reasons, but it could definitely be used for money laundering.
Leave it to the guy from Vegas to figure out how this is all a big grift,
right? 15
Seth, listen, I think we understand a little bit more. To be honest with you, you still said about 9 words I've never heard before in my life. And I'm not a stupid person, but thank you.
What?
Thank you so much. Unfortunately, we are out of time. Our guest has been waiting backstage for the last few minutes, so we are going to have to let you drop, but maybe we'll do this again and do another installment of NFT 101 with Mr. Dyer.
No problem. Thank you guys for having me.
Yeah, thank you, man. I'll see you soon.
Go make us an NFT that's going to sell for millions.
Yeah.
Okay?
I can help y'all out with it. It's just a matter of y'all building the hype behind it.
All right. Yeah. Let's get some hype.
We got it. Thanks, man.
All right. There goes Seth Dyer, everybody. If you have any questions about NFTs or any of that shit, we will have his link up on the Godfathers of Podcasting.com. And it is now time for the big hello. This week's guest is a complete and total badass and is one of the most dangerous women in Canada. In 2013, she ranked fourth in the nation in freestyle wrestling before turning her focus to the sweet science. She's an Ontario champion, Olympic style boxing, national qualifier in 2017, 2018, 2019, 2021. Something happened in 2020, I guess. She's also the two-time silver glove champion and an Esker Cup champion. She represented Canada in the Dominican Republic and won. She fought in front of the baddest man alive, Mike Tyson, and won. And she was part of the Olympic training team for Canada in 2016 and for the 2020 games. Just this past week, she was in Montreal as part of the physically grueling INS camp. I saw all the stuff she posted online and I thought, nope, no thank you. That looks like hell on earth. She's a brand ambassador for Sting Sports and Pure Vita Labs, a fashion model, a podcaster, a social media influencer, and she's featured on Millions.co, a platform that allows athletes to expand their brand, monetize their likeness, and engage with their fans. Maybe they even make NFTs. Ladies and gentlemen, please let me introduce to all of you the one and only Scarlett Delgado.
That is going to be the best intro I've ever had.
I'm getting so tired of everyone loving your intros, bro. It's all good. You're doing your thing, and you deserve it. Thanks for being with us, Scarlett.
No, thank you for having me. I'm excited for this.
I do want to ask you this quick, just because I had my boy on talking about NFTs. Oh. Do you know about NFTs?
I know.
Thank you. You've just made us feel better. I just needed to get that out of the way fast.
You were sitting backstage during his explanation. Did any of it make sense to you?
No, I walked in. I was like, well, they must know what he's talking about. That's what I thought.
We were getting a lesson, and we will fail our first quiz on this when it happens on Monday.
Yeah, I didn't know anything that was going on, so I was just like, okay, like maybe they'll mention something about that when I'm talking to them. Not too sure.
I thought blockchain had something to do with like prison yards and putting guys to work.
That's what it kind of came to my mind.
I
don't know what a blockchain is.
Yeah, same. So, still trying to understand it all.
We'll learn one day.
Scarlett, if social media is any indication, you are like doing nothing in life except training. Are you at a gym right now? I see cinder blocks behind you.
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. I'm at Battle Arts. I just finished teaching a class, and I like to just hang out here for a little bit just to kind of, I like the vibe. You know, I like seeing the jiu-jitsu classes. I like watching everybody. I like watching the pro wrestling classes and the Muay Thai. It's fun just to be in the community.
I was actually at Battle Arts a little earlier tonight, and I knew that Scarlett was there because we bumped into each other, but I didn't know if she was still going to be there come showtime. Yeah. But there she is doing her thing. That's awesome. So talk to us a little bit about your love for combat sports, because it's obvious that this is your passion in life, right? That and fitness and nutrition, all of that together. But why combat sports? Why not like fucking figure skating or something?
Oh wow.
Well, to be honest, like everybody always has this idea that it's my dad, because my dad was a boxer. He's also a coach, and that's how my parents actually met. My mom took up his boxing class, and then history went from there. But yeah, everybody thinks that, like, oh, because her dad had it, like, since she was a baby running around the boxing gym, of course, like, that's why she loves the sport. I mean, maybe as Justina as a kid, it's just something that I knew nothing else, but my dad never wanted me to be in the sport. He never thought of me as competing one day. That was never his focus. He actually wanted me to focus more on like dancing, or he wanted me to focus on swimming or something like that. Something that was not combat. I don't think he wanted to see his little girl go in the ring or go on the mat or something like that, and then like, you know, get hurt or whatever. He used to say that I was too cute for this kind of stuff. So I'm for sure, like, when I actually like finally got into the ring and he saw that I was liking it, that kind of threw off red flags in his head. But then like, I still asked him, I was like, can I do this? And he's like, no. And he's like, if you want, you can do a dance competition and I'll come and support you in that. I'm like, okay, well. So I was walking through my high school and I saw a wrestling poster and I was like, oh, well, I just need the school's permission for this, not my father's. So I went into that and I came home with a medal. And then he just like saw me holding the medal. He's like, oh no. And I could see like the stress in his face. And then like, I took myself to nationals in freestyle wrestling. And when I came back, he said to me, well, if you want to take this seriously, then you have to put 100% focus into this. You can't put 100% focus into wrestling and 100% focus into boxing. So you got to pick. So I picked boxing because I really, really love this sport, something that came really natural to me. And I haven't looked back since. But of course, wrestling always has that special place in my heart just because it was something I chose to do and I made my own name in it. So, yeah.
So here's a question then, like, because that's always been the thing. You go from wrestling and you say to yourself one day, hey, I want to get punched in the face a lot.
That's right? A great point. Most wrestlers don't like to get hit.
You know what I mean? And I get it. I understand all of that. But at what point, like, at what point was the switch flipped? You know what I mean? Because you did wrestling. If you go through freestyle stuff, you find a love for wrestling that is unparalleled. There's no doubt about it. So it couldn't have been like immediate. So like at what point, like, because obviously those first couple of boxing things couldn't have been as smooth as they are now, obviously, right? But at what point did you be like, nope, boxing, 100%?
So I should have mentioned, like, my dad never let me compete when I was younger, but he did teach me K1 kickboxing first. So like while I was going to his gym, the way the story goes is that my grandfather, he passed away and I had nothing to do. My grandparents, they raised me. So it was really a hard time for me as a kid. I didn't like, it was in the summer too. So it's not like I was going to school and distracting myself. I was just at home alone and with myself. So my grandmother's like, no, like you gotta go and do something. So she would take me to my father's gym. And so I'd spend the day there and he'd be teaching classes though. So of course he had to keep this 13-year-old busy and stimulated. And iPhones, they weren't a thing back then. So he's like, okay, well, I'm going to show you this kick and you're going to do this kick, this one kick until I'm done the class. And if you stop, I'm going to make you do push-ups. And if you stop, I'm going to make you do this. I'm going to make you do that. Okay. Yeah. So I would do the one kick for like an hour. And then he'd have to teach another class. So he'd give me one more kick and so on and so forth. So I actually was doing the striking and the kicks first. I wanted to compete in kickboxing first. And he said, no. So that's why I was like focusing on the strikes. I thought maybe he won't mind punches minus kicks. So I went to the boxing and he said no. And then that's why I went over to the wrestling. So I had the experience. I was working with his athletes to help them prepare for their fights, but he would never let me have fights. So it was like that.
Scarlett, we just got a text message from a viewer at 437-375-2000. It says, is it just me? Am I tripping balls or is Scarlett's camera looking a little stroby? Yeah, her camera's a little off. I think there's something with the Wi-Fi signal over there. It's a little choppy, but it's okay. We can still see your pretty face.
Is it not clear?
It's clear. It's just it's coming in like a set of still pictures instead of a smooth.
It looks
video.
Like you're kind of pop locking.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay. I'm using data because I didn't want the Wi-Fi to.
Are you on a flip phone? Is that what it is? Are you on a flip phone right now?
Just steal Battle Arts' Wi-Fi.
I just didn't know if like the Wi-Fi would like make it worse or something. So here, I'm gonna put on the Wi-Fi.
Yeah, try that.
Makes it better.
This viewer also has a question for Scarlett.
Okay.
It says, Scarlett, how long would it take you in terms of rounds to knock out Danny O?
We should ask that question. Like, hold on.
Are we talking timed rounds like MMA rounds? Are we talking boxing rounds? Or
how long is an amateur round?
Or the amount of times it takes her to turn around?
So do I have three questions or one?
Well, how long is an amateur round? I don't even know. Is it 5 minutes?
For boxing, it's three 3-minute rounds. Three rounds, 3 minutes each. Yeah.
Okay, so three 3-minute rounds. At what point would Danny O go down?
Let me give you a look at the chin.
Dan, what do you weigh?
150.
Okay.
Have you ever been hit before in the face?
Hmm.
Like a good...
By Donnie. No. With bad breath, I meant. No, you know, we'd have to go back to elementary school for my last real fight. So it's been a minute.
It's been a minute. Okay.
Well, my brother, yeah, my brother and I.
He's Glass Joe.
Maybe it wouldn't take me too long.
No, I don't think so. But it really depends how fast you run. Because if you can catch me, then I might last a few extra.
I got fast.
Maybe feet. Into the second round. I don't know.
I got fast feet. I'm a Latina. I got fast feet.
Ooh, gotcha.
Someone else just sent in a message 437-375-2000 says, Scarlett, I just started watching your stuff on Instagram. What the hell is that thing you posted where it looks like you're throwing something to another person in the ring and it appears like you're both blindfolded?
Yeah. That's really cool. So it's a Hiko Sticks, and they have like a red handle, a blue handle, and a white handle. So the drill that we were doing is you call out the color and you throw it, but we had these glasses on that would take away your vision and then bring it back and take away your vision and bring it back really fast. So you have to be really focused. It's basically training your brain to refocus on the images in front of you. Kind of like, for example, there's another drill we do where you do 5 somersaults and then you get up and you do like a bunch of punches. And the idea of that is concussion recovery. So if you get hit with a really big blow and, you know, you got kind of rocked, to be able to refocus and get and stay in the fight, it's basically trying to train your brain to stay fixated on your target, regardless of being knocked. So this is kind of like doing that, but without the impact.
I thought concussion recovery was sit on the couch and watch Curb Your Enthusiasm. Like, to me, that's concussion recovery.
I've never had a concussion. So to be honest, I've never had to go to like a specialist and do all their special treatments. So I don't know how it actually works. This is supposed to be just to prevent them or help prevent them.
Another question just came in.
Hold on. Do you think if you go through enough of that training of doing this stuff, would you know if you had a fucking concussion?
Well, I mean, there's always signs, like depending how bad, like if you get a serious concussion, I mean, sure. You know, a lot of people, obviously they get stunned, they feel nauseous.
Oh,
yeah. Some people will feel
he's concussed right now.
Feel things like a couple days later. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I mean, there's always like something to tell, like, you know, I wouldn't say like one time I went to British Columbia and I was there with Team China. And we were in the ring, and these girls, like, they're no joke. These girls from China, they're no joke. I don't know what they're doing over there, but it's fierce. So I got hit with this blow through the guard. And I remember thinking, like, whoa, that's hard. And I didn't think anything of it. And I went back home. I took a week off training just because the camp itself was really hard. And so a week after I come back, I get this really sharp pain in the center of my head. Like very acute. And I was like, what is that? And I have my coach on like 911. So I call him, I'm like, Gaytan, like I'm having this problem with my head and blah, blah, blah. He's like, okay, come in. And he brings me to my physiotherapist, Chris John. And I'm lying there and I explained to him what I was feeling. And he's like, well, have you been sparring this past week? I said, I was working with Team China a couple weeks ago, but nothing that like I didn't get rocked or something. I told him there was one blow that was strong, but I didn't get rocked. And he's like, all right, lie down. He sticks his thumbs in my ears and he starts like kind of just putting his fingers on my forehead. I don't know what technique this is.
It's but Mr. Miyagi.
I'm telling you, it was some crazy stuff. So I was there for like 35 minutes lying there just still. And then after 35 minutes of his thumbs in my ears, I started feeling this release of pressure in my forehead. Like there was like waves and like my vision was going all blurry and everything. I'm like, what's happening? So he says that like, cause your skull's in plates or something, like there was something shifted by a micromillimeter and then he put it back. So all the circulation was going back through my head and I had to like lie there that whole time just to let it happen. So even though I didn't even feel anything, like I felt cognitively completely cohesive, there's that. Right. So I guess that would be considered like a mild concussion. I assume.
Is it possible that he had hallucinogenics on the end of his fingers and shoving those into your head?
You would think so. It was like some magic magician stuff. But I was completely fine when I walked out.
We just had another question. Fine. We just had another question come in, but this one's for Tid. Tid, you've been wrestling a long time and you've obviously been in more than your fair share of fights. How many concussions have you had?
I mean, so here's the thing that, and this is why I asked this earlier, is because when you have like those first couple of concussions, you don't even realize that you've had a concussion. You know what I mean? Mm. Because you're young, you're stupid, and you're full of piss and vinegar, and this is the next night on the road, and you just give her. This is what you do, right? 100%. So you don't even realize it until you kind of like, you get a good one. And then it makes you sit down and think about the ones that you had previous to it. I mean, yeah. I've had a few of them that have been pretty good. Has it ever slowed me down? No. Should it have? 100%. I give out the best advice. Do I follow any of it myself? Never.
I thought you were going to say you give out the best concussions.
You know what I mean? Well, I mean, I didn't. I would never incriminate myself like that.
I'm not going to say I've ever witnessed that either. Another text just came in for Scarlett at 437-375-2000. It says, Scarlett, the godfathers of podcasting have interviewed a couple of comedians in the past that were also boxers, Russell Peters and Joey Medina. But both of them have faces that look like they've been punched a lot. Are you okay with the fact that you may end up looking like Russell and Joey?
Well, it's funny, actually. My dad used to train Russell Peters in boxing.
Is that right?
Wow.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. So before he became really big, because Russell Peters is from Brampton, Ontario, and my dad used to be the head coach at Combat Arts. So Russell Peters used to go and train with him. I've had 48 boxing fights, and my face still looks okay, I think. So
yeah, well done.
I'm not too concerned. I've had pretty good coaches that teach me really well, and I trust my coaches, and I've never been disappointed. I'm really good at defense because I'm aware that this could make me money at some point. So
don't touch the moneymaker, said George St. Pierre.
Here's a question. Here's a boxing and a female boxing question that I've always wondered. Clarissa Shields, fantastic representative of the world of female boxing. In general, regardless, male or female, there's no doubt about it. She's jumped over into the world of MMA. But her last fight didn't go so well. Yeah. She got exposed because of her wrestling, her lack of wrestling, so to speak, right? Do you still train, like, even just once in a while, like being able to? Do you ever train in wrestling and think to yourself, maybe the MMA thing might be kind of fun? Because clearly you have a penchant for combat sports, and it seems like that is the progression. You know what I mean? You start off in boxing, or you start off in wrestling, you move to the other one, you do the kickboxing, you eventually put it all together, and you know, you get in the cage. Have you thought about it?
Yeah, and that's a question I get a lot. All my coaches, they've always wanted me to do MMA. That's always been like the one thing that they used to beg me, like, please, please one day come and do MMA. When I was at provincials for wrestling one time, in the finals, in the last like 8 seconds of the match, I was winning up by points and everything. And then the girl took a shot at me for a double. I sprawled, and there was this default in the mat. So I actually dislocated my hip in that match. And it was a full dislocation. Mm-hmm. I still won. There was only 8 seconds left. So I just held my position and then, you know, whatever. But obviously I couldn't go to nationals, and I took a year off everything just to kind of let my hip heal. But after that, I think there was just this mental block in my head. Like, I didn't want to kick because I thought, you know, what if I put too much torque into it? I always kind of like was a little like nervous about that. And I was just getting so committed to the boxing. I was getting so like, oh, I need to go to nationals. Like, oh, I really want to go to this international tournament. I was so focused in my venture at the time, even though everybody was saying like, oh, the MMA, I was like, okay, when I finish this year, maybe I'll think about it when I finish this year. I just never kind of came around to it, but it's definitely something that I have considered. I mean, depending how this next year, it sounds funny, I'm saying it again. It depends how this next year goes, because now I'm with a new team. I've been training with Olympian Mandy Bujold. My coach is Sydney Vanderpool, a former boxing champion himself. I have Caitlin Clark as a Canadian champion. Mackenzie Wright was a former Canadian champion. Just a team of champions. And I'm so proud to be on this team. And I kind of want to see where this takes me the next year. But it's definitely something MMA I would consider. Like I said, depending where my boxing career is after this next year, for sure.
I know, I know Dan wants to jump in, but let me just say this. The woman that you wrestled, who you beat with one fucking hip, she should not wrestle anymore. Because I don't care that there was 8 seconds. You had one hip.
Mm-hmm.
One hip. She should have capitalized with 8 seconds to go.
I might have been able to capitalize in that 8 seconds.
You know what? You still would have lost. Just the way it was, it was so... Because I sprawled, so her face was kind of like in the mat, and my hips were on top of her head. So I don't even think, because I just heard everybody go, and everybody kind of paused because everybody was just shocked. Like all of a sudden, my leg was just not attached to my body. I don't think that anybody processed it.
Like, don't ever tell me that woman's. Don't ever tell me that woman's name, because if I see her in public, I'll go, "You lost to one hip. You lost to one hip." Dan, go ahead.
Honestly, I don't even know her name. Like, I don't even know.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm kidding. And loser. No one else does either.
Loser. No.
Scarlett, I'm always curious about inspirations. I have so many different favorites growing up in a variety of different aspects of sports and entertainment. Who are some of your tops? You're the, you know, people that inspired you to even do this, that you're a big fan of still.
Don't say family. Yeah. Don't say family. Everybody says,
ask, like, you mean, like, people in my personal life?
Or, no, you could have been. Yeah, you saw them. You saw them fight as a youngster, or you saw them live, or you just were put on to them. And anyone who you like, you kind of became a fan of, maybe emulated or not, but an inspiration to you.
You're not gonna like this, Ted. To be honest, this is complete honesty, just raw honesty. Like when I was a kid, I used to watch my dad. Like, I used to look at him and think, sure. Oh my God, like, I just want to be an athlete like that.
Awesome.
And I thought I had so many limitations because I was obviously a tiny little girl. And then here's my dad, who's this big, huge guy that looks like Dwayne Johnson, just 5'9" version. And, you know, he just looks like he could have done so many things in his youth. And kind of, it's one of those tales where he was living in the projects and he didn't like have the opportunities and nobody was guiding him. So he kind of just fell into the sport and he had all of this talent, he had all these opportunities, but really late. Then he had kids, so he had to take care of the kids. So it was kind of one of those things for him. But when I seen him and I thought, oh my God, I just want to be that strong. Like, I want to be that confident. I want to be able to go in there and just like defend myself like that. And he was the person that I looked up to when I was a kid for athletics. He used to tease me and say, Scar, you know, I had MVP of the year all years in high school and not very many people can do that. And he's like, so let's see if you can do it. And I was so upset because I couldn't do it.
would you say you're a daddy's girl?
I was. All right. A long time
Love
ago,
to hear
I
that.
Was. Yeah.
Who wins the fight? Your dad or Chuck Norris? What's up? What's up?
I mean, she's not going to bet against dad. So.
Who's Brian?
What? Chuck Norris, for goddamn sakes.
I can confirm, by the way. I can confirm when Scarlett referred to herself as being tiny. I've actually been around Scarlett face to face, and I mean, not just compared to me because I'm an ogre, but in general, she is this like tiny package of dynamite, but her hands are so goddamn fast. It is terrifying how fast her hands are. And that actually leads into a question that we got from another listener. It says, Scarlett, when you're beating the shit out of a heavy bag, do you ever visualize someone's face, and what are you listening to?
Oh, you know what? It's really weird in my head. Like when I'm getting into a zone on the bag, I don't even, it's weird. Like I'm not thinking. It's almost like a meditative state. Like once you get into a zone and you just know like the task that you're supposed to do, because my coach is very specific with what we do on the bag coming up to, depending where we're going to fight or when we're going to fight, we have very specific tasks to do on the bag. So when I get into a rhythm and I get into a motion, I don't even hear anything. I don't see anything. I just see like eye level. It's one target. And I go into like this meditative state where it's just go, 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 go. And I don't stop thinking that until I hear the bell go off. And so the music that really gets me pumping, though, I'm not going to lie, is like hip hop, R&B, old Sweet. School, like 90s, 80s, like that. I love that stuff.
I'm going to send you some shit.
Please. I love it.
She's going to be listening to Danny O in her AirPods while she's beating the shit out of somebody.
Yeah. You're better than beating the shit out of me.
Yeah, maybe that'll get her to not want to knock you out.
Yeah, hopefully.
Scarlett, we had this question come in from a few people, so I got to ask this as the last one from the audience. We have rumors. I'm paraphrasing from like several different people that sent in the same question. Rumors of a fight coming up early next year between Mike Tyson and Logan Paul.
Oh.
What do you think is going to happen if you had to handicap that fight?
And it, like, you know, like when it's matches like this, like it's so disappointing because I can't believe what they're doing to the sport of boxing. Like,
I can hear it, like, in your voice right away.
Okay. TikTok, so let's take it even sooner than that, because next month you've got the other Paul brother against a young boxer right now in Tommy Fury.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just like the way I look at it is people don't, like, if you're not in the sport, people don't know how hard it is to get to that level. Like, without these TikToks, and because of course this is all money, right? Like, of course these guys are going to be the first in line to, if they want to get into a fight with these kinds of fighters, because they bring in the viewers, they bring in the money. But there are just so many boxers out there that are just so unbelievably talented that are just trying to make it and make it and make it, and then they get shoved down because of people like Logan Paul and, you know, all these other people. Mm-hmm. And it, to me, almost taints the sport of its authenticity. So, I mean, Mike Tyson's going to win. Like, I
hope
Tyson.
That this is the fight finally where this guy gets shown that this isn't a joke.
Yeah. This, you
know. Well, this is against Logan Paul, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Logan
which
Paul.
One is which? Which one fought me?
Logan Paul. Paul's the old one. And he hasn't won a fight yet.
No.
Jake Paul is the one who's fighting Tommy Fury next. Jake Paul is the younger one who was fighting all the MMA guys leading up to this stuff. So Jake actually has a winning record. You know, Logan is like, I'm still really pretty. So, like, just pay me for it.
Logan fought Money in that absolute joke, right? That exhibition fight.
Yeah, man.
Oh, my God. It was so, like, embarrassing. Like, I don't know. I
No, it's okay. We're short on time here. I know I said that was the last text, but I'm going to throw this one out here too, and Dan's going to hate this. Danio, this is a message that came in 437-375-2000. Danio, you want to get some music over to Scarlett, why not drop some bars for her?
Signed, Don.
What bars? This isn't
sounds
even
like
a free, jail.
That sounds like a freestyle challenge.
Yes, what does. Bars? This isn't even a jail. Don't you know you asked me to rap and I'd never fail? Scarlett Delgado, please don't punch me in the face. You know it looks too good, whether here or in your place. I'm just joking. You can punch me, but make sure it's soft. Because you know that Danny O is on the mic, not coming off. But I'm coming to that gym so I can start rapping. And you can see some other person then start clapping the face with your fists. And make sure they listen to this, a freestyle that just know is so damn crisp that you might give me a kiss. Donnie, yeah, you wish that it'd be you, but you're not really down with my crew. Just joking. I'm here chilling here on the mic. And Scarlett, I really love this interview. Do you like being on the show with us? Please don't bust my freaking face, because you trust that me and you was real friends on the show. And that's how it go, a freestyle challenge given to your bro Danny. Yo, I take it every single time. I hope you like that I rhyme. One more time we'll do it, and I'll see you next time. Word up.
Oh,
woo! That was awesome. You know, that to me is like such real talent, because I don't know how people.
That's why I don't make money. See, I'm not an island boy.
You're just an island boy.
I'm not an island boy.
That was the drizzling shit.
I feel like I'll be back in like a week.
It was. You lost it in like the fourth bar, bro. Just, and you know it, and I know it, but they don't. But that's okay.
So true. But maybe I can sell it as an NFT.
That's what I'm saying.
It's an NFT.
Scarlett's fucking tone. That's what that means.
Scarlett's putting it over. I'm bopping my head. Tid's like, you suck.
Yeah, right? I'm like, yo, I'm Randy Jackson up in this. Yo, dog, I just got to keep it real, yo.
Yeah.
It's a no for me, dog.
No for me. But I think I still pass, because if you guys give it to me and Tid doesn't, I'm on to the next round.
Well, yeah, you got Blake Shelton up here in the corner. Of course, he don't know the difference.
I turned my chair around.
He's just looking to make money off a poor young black man.
Scarlett, why don't you go ahead and tell the audience out there where they can find you on socials and how they can reach out to you and find out more about the products that you endorse.
Yeah, absolutely. So I am, as you mentioned before, a Sting athlete representative. So any of the clothing or the boxing gear, I really highly recommend it. They used it in the Olympics. They use it for boxing Ontario. It's really high quality stuff. So anybody that has any questions about their products, definitely shoot me a message on my Instagram, which is just my first and last name, Scarlett Delgado, Pure Vital Labs. They sponsor me for my supplements. They're a Canadian company. They have no bullshit ingredients, completely clean, raw ingredients. I trust it. It's athlete tested. So athletes that are going for any Olympic level sport that need to be tested for anything, substances or whatever, it's completely clean. You don't have to worry about it. So I 100% trust their products. You can find me here at Battle Arts Academy. I'm the head boxing coach. You want to attend my classes on Tuesday, Thursday evenings at 6 p.m. or Saturday mornings at 8 a.m. Definitely, like I said, on Instagram, Scarlett Delgado. Just shoot me a message with any questions.
I have to share this one too. The last message that came in on the hotline. Has there ever been a name that fit the person's profession more? Scarlett Delgado just sounds like someone that'll fuck your shit up. Either that or a shortstop.
Yeah.
It's a great text. That person just won text of the night.
Well, basement, but yeah.
Thanks, Scarlett.
Yeah, Scarlett.
Thank you.
We'll talk soon.
We will talk soon. Thank you so much.
All right. Scarlett Delgado. There she goes, everybody. So much fun. Always smiling, except when she's beating the shit out of people. Tid, Dan,
no.
Final thoughts as we wrap this one up and say goodnight.
Good night.
That's it. That's what you got. Dan, final thoughts?
I couldn't always a second because of my tech problems. The freestyle might have been shit. This sure isn't. It's finally.
Is this motherfucker like the Gene Simmons of like rap music? Like, seriously, did you notice like when his boy came on earlier? Like, get the fuck out of here, Dan, you motherfucker. Did you notice his boy came on earlier? He had to put over like, yo, we did this thing and I did this thing first. And let me just plug this thing first before you get on here. You are a sneaky. No, shut up. You are a sneaky motherfucker. And I love you for it. I think it is absolutely fucking great. Fuck everybody else.
I was going to say.
The Gene Simmons of hip hop.
I wish I could take credit for the ultimate plugger on this show. Because how often do I really talk about?
What you got there, Dan?
My new record. It's actually not my new record. It's my first record, Dear Hip Hop. And it's out now. You see how my name is spelled? Dan-E-O.com. Go to the website and get your own. It's finally out. I'm pretty excited. This is the 25th anniversary of Heaven this single. And it's actually never been a single until now. So I'm so happy it's on Wax.
Is that right? It was never a single?
It was never a single. Dear Hip Hop was released on Rap Essentials Volume 1, a compilation, 25 years ago. So in terms of it being a single, and this is the way singles used to be released, you know, back before the days of NFTs, on 45 RPM 7-inch singles. So here it is. It's at DannyO.com. Go pick it up, y'all.
Yo, there was this little store I used to go to as a kid, and we used to be able to buy singles. It was cool.
Was that on a reserve?
Yeah. No, it was a legit place.
All right.
Maybe we should go out this week on Dear Hip Hop. So, ladies and gentlemen, for those of you that are checking us out in the archives, here's Dear Hip Hop.
Sweet.
And for everybody
25 else, years old, man.
Thank you so much for joining us. Yeah, take a look at the music video and see how young as Dan looks.
Oh, shit, you're playing the vid.
This is episode 79, and we are done this party. Thank you so much. My name is Donnie Da Silva. We'll see you next time.
Peace, y'all.
Peace.
On my way to the studio.
Straight up, man.
Alright, what's that music scene saying, man?
It's coming all right, man.
I'm putting in work. Straight up,
real,
man.
For real?
Yeah, you know.
So where are the girls supposed to look out for the LP and stuff, man? What's up?
Yeah, I don't know. Hopefully sooner than later, though, but we're making mad moves, so you know what I'm saying? Be on the lookout still.
Alright. I'll be looking out for you, though, man.
Yo, thanks, man.
Alright, one love, though, man. Alright.
till I die. To taste the grace of your embrace, I will try. My mission is to utilize my skills on the mic to rid you of the losers, abusers, and stereotypes. Dear hip hop, what is the state of your condition? Niggas be dishing fiction, making my decision a mission to rid them from the planet, cause my tracks hacks the whackness. Raps, they flap is drier than habitats of a cactus. Fact is, I'm raw skilled, cause God filled me with the spark to be so fat. Rappers need an elevator to keep up with me. My objective is to be selective with my projections, to carry up beyond the barriers of new dimensions. So help me slit the slack rolls, who act flows, the pack blows, the crack foes, sweeping your reach from plateaus. With senseless scripts, the lips is paraplegic, while the level of my lyrics leave the legion with lesions. From when you gave me birth, I remain true to your rule. Your phonies try to hold me back like teachers did to them in school. My promise to punish poetic plagues won't end, cause ever since I was 10, you've been my best fucking friend. Dear hip hop, I love you till I die. To taste the grace of your embrace, I will try. My mission is to utilize my skills on the mic to rid you of the losers, abusers, and stereotypes. Dear hip hop, I love you till I die. To taste the grace of your embrace, I will try. My mission is to utilize my skills on the mic to rid you of the losers, abusers, and stereotypes. Now, brethren, I comprehend your frustration, affiliation, your evaluation from those outside your nation, lack education. Corrupt critics voice views with no validity, claiming you're the blame for violence within vicinities. A promotion to penetrate privates, how they depict us, so they deface our albums, advising parents with stickers, hoping that our shit will die out. They remind me of niggas in French class, not knowing what the fuck they talking about. Our expressions exemplify reality through artistic talents found in all municipalities. Cause hip hop, you're growing like dicks during corner flicks. Yet pricks be on my back like slaps when I used to get licks. Man, even pops gives me no props, not understanding why me and you were branded to be lifelong companions. No power possible could prevent me to proceed to profess wrongful death like a Muslim does a creed. Dear hip hop, I love you till I die. To taste the grace of your embrace, I will try. My mission is to utilize my skills on the mic to rid you of the losers, abusers, and stereotypes. Dear hip hop, I love you till I die. To taste the grace of your embrace, I will try. My mission is to utilize my skills on the mic to rid you of the losers, abusers, and stereotypes. Now, bro, I know who hurts you most besides those who are ignorant and not articulate. It's niggas who figure shit lingers when they travel down gravel roads of trend interpretation. These imitations cause no fascination but contemplation of how they came to commercial composure. Probably writing rhymes upside down on a crucifix the way they crossing over. Unworthy benefit, reapers sporting sneakers and beepers. Will I be catching bags under my sights from sleepless nights, writing for life, cause I refuse to feel the effects of being no my material memorabilia. No matter how they bring you down, I'll stand your ground anyway. Cause H-I-P-H-O-P is in D-A-N's DNA. But tracks ask niggas like questions, I've mastered all styles to make rappers look wacker than me playing basketball. Sorry for those who represent what you resent, like O.J. Simpson. I'm absolutely 100% hip-hop. Yours truly, Danny O.
I got love for all my bros and sisters. When I start to twist this, when I get in, this is strictly business. Like EPMD, you're seeing me on videos on TV. You'll check my CD and TA.